the prophet in his day is fully accepted of God and totally rejected by men. No man can be fully accepted until he is totally rejected. The prophet of the Lord is aware of both of these experiences. They are his brand name. The group challenged by the prophets because they are smug and comfortably insulted from a perishing world in their warm but untested theology is not likely to vote him man of the year when he refers to them as the habituates of the synagogue of Satan. The prophet comes to set up that which is upset. His work is to call into line those which are out of line. He is unpopular because he opposes the popular in morality and in spirituality. In a day of faceless politicians and voiceless preachers, there's not a more urgent national need than that we cry to God for a prophet. The function of the prophet, as Austin Sparks once said, has almost always been that of recovery. The prophet is God's detective seeking for a lost treasure. The degree of his effectiveness is determined by his measure of unpopularity. Compromise is not known to him. He has no price tags. He is totally otherworldly. He is unquestionably controversial and unpardonably hostile. He marches to another drummer. He breathes the rarefied air of inspiration. He is a seer who comes to lead the blind. He lives in the heights of God and comes into the valley with a "Thus saith the Lord." He shares some of the knowledge of God and is so aware of impending judgment. He lives in splendid isolation. He is forthright and outright, but he claims no birthright. His message is repent, be reconciled to God, or else. His prophecies are parried. His truth brings torment, but his voice is never void. He is the villain of today and the hero of tomorrow. He is excommunicated while alive and exalted when he is dead. He is dishonored with epithets when breathing and honored with epitaphs when dead. He is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, but few make the grade in his class. He is friendless while living and famous when dead. He is against the establishment in ministry. Then he is established as a saint by posterity. He eats daily the bread of affliction while he ministers, but he feeds the bread of life to those who listen. He walks before men for days, but walks before God for years. He is a scourge to the nation before he is scourged by the nation. He announces, pronounces, and denounces. He has a heart like a volcano, and his words are as fire. He talks to men about God. He carries the lamp of truth amongst heretics, while he is lampooned by men. He faces God before he faces men, but he is self-effacing. He hides with God in the secret place, but he has nothing to hide in the marketplace. He is naturally sensitive, but supernaturally spiritual. He has passion, purpose, and pugnacity. He is ordained of God, but disdained by men. The prophet comes to set up that which is upset. His work is to call into line those which are out of line. He is unpopular because he opposes the popular in morality and in spirituality. In a day of faceless politicians and voiceless preachers, there's not a more urgent national need than that we cry to God for a prophet. The function of the prophet, as Austin Sparks once said, has almost always been that of recovery. The prophet is God's detective seeking for a lost treasure. The degree of his effectiveness is determined by his measure of unpopularity. Compromise is not known to him. He has no price tags. He is totally otherworldly. He is unquestionably controversial and unpardonably hostile. He marches to another drummer. He breathes the rarefied air of inspiration. He is a seer who comes to lead the blind. He lives in the heights of God and comes into the valley with a "Thus saith the Lord." He shares some of the knowledge of God and is so aware of impending judgment. He lives in splendid isolation. He is forthright and outright, but he claims no birthright. His message is repent, be reconciled to God.
BBSradio.com.
His prophecies are paired.
Every time we turn our heads the other way, when we see the flawed flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we're too busy or too frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom and decency and justice. Robert Kennedy. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Martin Luther, the great reformer, stated, "When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on."
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker, rocker, rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Been off for about 7 days, first time I've done it in 25 years, and I'm happy that I did it. We were out in Florida, and in the process of doing so, I'll tell you what, we went from 88 degrees yesterday to minus 20 this morning in Minneapolis. No joke. And it's a good place to be, Florida is right now. And I guess we had a hot spot during that week, and that was rare as hen's teeth. But in the process, we were blessed to do it. And the advantage of being there, at least it was for me this time around, was that I could actually sleep. I unplugged everything, folks. I said, nope, no more. I need to take a minute. Again, I haven't done this in 25 years. And for the life of me, what begs the question, at least when it comes to my mind, is how can somebody in ministry leave their ministry for 40 days every year doing a sabbatical? I just don't understand it. I mean, you can't give your baby away, can you? No, nobody's going to take care of that baby the way that you take care of that baby. Well, we were in good hands over the last week, and we did replays nationally, and Tim Brown filled in the show, and then we also promulgated some of our videos. And by the way, I did want to let everybody know, for those that didn't know, when you go over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, I am constantly working on videos as well for this website, giving people answers to the issues that they face on a daily basis, both biblically first and foremost and scripturally second. And I'm talking about more so as to the interpretation from man as far as our forefathers establishing the enumerated laws of the Constitution, premised and based and founded upon the rock of the Bible. And that's why I continuously bring forth Andrew Jackson when he said the Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. When you go over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, there is literally a couple hundred videos. I believe there's a couple hundred videos up there for you. And we are constantly working on videos to educate people. Many of them are television series. Matter of fact, if you go over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, you're going to find social media platforms. You're going to find Equipping the Saints. That was an air program, 42 weeks across the country nationally. It was a television program that we put together as to what we are doing in the public high schools, so on and so forth, and the issues that we face. But I do want to make clear that everybody understands that we're not just doing radio here. We're doing much more, friends. Matter of fact, we're going to be working on a new television program up and coming concerning who our forefathers were, what it was that they established, and how that is still accessible today if we're willing to stand up and fight for our God-given rights, 1 Timothy 6:12. So again, when you go over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, folks, we're not putting these videos together because we don't have anything better to do with our time. If you want the answers, we're doing our best to address every issue that we face as a country. I'm not saying that every one is covered. Not all of our bases are covered right now. but we have a couple hundred of them up there. And again, making reference to the Word of God and the Constitution to bring about the answers that most claim that they want. People rave about the videos, and they're, quite frankly, they're anointed, Isaiah 10:27, and there's a lot of favor on these videos because it gives you a different perspective, and we're not taking things for surface, friends, in the sense of surfaced answers that the promulgators of propaganda want to continuously give us, which, in fact, brings no resolve at all. Again, put that up against Micah 6:16. So when you get a moment, check out sonsoflibertymedia.com, and when you go over there, check out our videos. People say all the time, Bradley, I didn't know that you had all these videos up there. Well, I continuously tell you that they're out there, so please do. We also have a store which is available, and we're giving you answers through our experience. And we're not talking out of school, friends. The best book in the minister's library is always his experience. And the gift of prophecy is what? Premised on the testimony of Jesus Christ in which we have. Because in contrast, Paul said, aligned in parallel, that I dare not speak of those things that Christ has not done through us. Well, folks, we're only giving you what we have received, because freely we have received and freely we are giving unto you, okay? So check that out on sonsoflibertymedia.com as well. If you're listening to us by radio, I know we just got picked up by another radio station just this last week. The week before, we got picked up by four more national radio stations. So our affiliates guy out in St. Petersburg, Florida, is knocking it out of the park right now, and we just appreciate him. But if you're listening to us on radio and you like to go on social media platforms, sometimes we do go over on the show, you're invited to come over. Sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of the page. When you go over to that website, what you're going to find is social media platforms on the left side. This is the afternoon show, and this is Tim Brown's morning show every single day of the week. Tim also loads up to, I believe it's 8 to 10 articles every day, friends. 8 to 10 articles every day from contributors all over the country, giving you the answers, again, from people that are actually in the culture war. With that, you can also check us out on beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com as well. We're on the left side of that page. If you want to call in, please do. We'd love to hear from you. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Also wanted to let you know, folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that. We follow the Christ here, friends, John 14:16, and we're not mincing words. And that's just where we're at, and that's what we're going to hold to concerning his word. Love it or leave it. That's your call. Deuteronomy 30:19, Romans 6:16 as well. Now, I want to get over to this because I want to hit a serious issue. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Isn't it interesting that when we listen to that, where do we actually get to experience that in the pulpits of America today? And if you do raise your voice, friends, because you're moved by the Holy Ghost, Romans 8:14, for some reason or another, there's something wrong with that. But it's okay if you go into an arena with 80,000 people and you watch a bunch of full-grown men with tights on fighting over a pig ball. It's okay to go ahead and burn your incense to all those false gods, isn't it? Paint yourself half yellow, half purple in the state of Minnesota. You're half naked. You act like an absolute debased reprobate. And somehow or another, that's okay. But when you preach against the sins of a nation, there's something wrong with that guy. No, I'm telling you, that's the guy that's got it right. And that's why we started the show off today with the video concerning the characteristics of a prophet. Now, when you go over to Hosea 6:5, line upon line, precept upon precept, concerning what we just talked about in Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Does this sound like the same Lord to you in Hosea 6:5? "Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth before." Does that sound familiar? Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you look at Scripture, friends, the Lord leads in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com.
Hello, this is Caleb Collier, host of Church and State. Find us at churchandstate.media. Take it from me, you have to listen to Bradley Dean. Bradley Dean is one of the greatest theologians and patriots of our time. He is leading the charge in our modern-day revolution. Brad Lee doesn't pull punches and always presents what is right, not beholden to party, politics, or pulpits. I am proud to call him friend. He is truly a son of liberty.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at ChristianMediaConference.com.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
Don't have a place to go for church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with Scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all true Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you're looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inerrant Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble.
So that this nation may long endure, I urge you to follow in the hallowed footsteps of the great disobedience of history that freed exiles, founded Christianity, defeated tyrants, and yes, in the hands of an aroused rabble, in arms and a few great men, Charlton Heston. The brave man inattentive to his duty is worth little more to his country than the coward who deserts her in the hour of danger. President Thomas Jefferson. You know, it's welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. It's interesting because that was one of the thoughts that I wanted to bring up, because I'm going to nail this today, folks. And what I'm going to nail is, you'll understand as we go a line upon a line and precept upon precept, holding to the Word of God concerning what the issue is in America today. When you look at what's happening in the pulpits of America today, on a, folks, a vast scope across the boards, what I see out there from my experience, and that's all I can give you again, from the top to the bottom, I understand exactly why we're in trouble today. Here, let me tell you why we're in trouble today. See, they're only going to preach from the pulpit, as they would call it. And I'm calling them out for what they are. And if you look at Jeremiah 23, you're going to understand perfectly, because they are not those that the Lord sent. And when you look at them today, they're only willing to talk about everything that God is doing. And I'm talking about the prophets, right? Or those that are professing to be something that they're clearly not. And I'm talking about the false prophets, because that's exactly what they are. They run in stark contrast to what the Lord is doing. Now, if you make distinction as to the old to the new, and I'm going to show you this in just a moment, it's interesting to me that when you see the modern day professors, once again from the pulpit, they'll only talk about what the Lord has done. But yet, if you look at the prophets, it's not what only the Lord said he was going to do and what he's done in the past, but what he's doing now through the prophets. And that's the reason when you look in the New Testament as to why there was a book of Acts. It wasn't, as I continuously go back to, I'm saved from my sin, Matthew 1:21, but you know what? It goes no further than that. No, I'm going to put to you, if you've been saved from your sin, what did the Lord save you from your sin for? What is your ministry? What are you called to do? Ephesians 4:11, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, that's none of that's changed. 1 Corinthians 12:28 proves the point. And then when you go to the evangelist and or the pastor, what are you doing for the kingdom of God if you call yourself a Christian? Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I'll cause you to become fishers of men. If you're not fishers of men or the repairers of the breach, you can rest assured you do not have the Spirit of God. And I got to tell you, in my position over the last week, I have been burdened with nothing short of what I see in the pulpits of America today. I am embarrassed for what I see. It runs in stark contrast to what our forefathers established. Let me just go ahead and show you this, okay? Because when you look at Roger Sherman, he was just a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He said, sad will be the day when the American people forget their traditions and their history. He said, and no longer remember that the country they love, the institutions they cherish, and the freedoms they hope to preserve were born from the throes of armed resistance and tyranny and nursed in the rugged arms of fearless men. You know what I see in the pulpits today? Fearless men taking counsel from their fears. And it stays in the church. It doesn't leave the building. Now, I'm saying that for the very purpose that when I think of Catherine Booth, wife to William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, not at all what you see today, folks. Again, complete contrast, stark contrast, diametrically opposed to what they established is what you see in America today. Okay? And you can see them slowly watering down their Logan every Christmas season where it's completely gutted of the spirit of the Word of God. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But let's go back to the foundations, for example. You look at Catherine Booth. She said a barracks, a church, okay, is meant to be a place where real soldiers, endure as good soldiers, the Bible tells us, were to be fed and equipped for what? We're in a spiritual warfare. One of the greatest questions I've had, and I continuously ask across the boards, how is it that you're okay with a world that's at war with God? How are you at peace with the world that's at war with God? And your incompetence, your inaction, your impotency on so many different levels is only breeding what? Those that will make war against God because of your lack of Christianity, because of your example. And what these guys like to do, going back to the modern church, they love to talk about what the Lord has done. They love to talk about what he's doing in the spiritual realm. And while they do nothing but wait for the Lord to do for them what the Lord has commanded them to do. In contrast to Proverbs 7:2, it's embarrassing. It truly is. Now, let me go back to Catherine Booth. She said a barracks is meant to be a place where real soldiers were to be fed. The Word of God, 6:35 of John, and equipped for war. Ephesians 6:12, not a place to settle down or as a comfortable snuggery in which to enjoy ourselves. She goes on and says, I hope that if ever they, the Christians, right, our soldiers do settle down, that God will burn the barracks over the top of their heads. Oh my goodness, we're way beyond that. I mean, the American church lacks Christ on so many different fronts. And I got to tell you, friends, I lay it to heart and I'm burdened by it on a daily basis. I'm burdened by what they don't do, because the only thing that I've ever known in ministry since I've been in ministry is to be a doer of the word, to be a part of the answer, not a part of the problem, as the repairers of the breach by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking of Isaiah 58 verse 12, and I'm also thinking about Acts 5:32. How is it that they're comfortably jogging along with the spirit of the world? Now, let me go back to Catherine again. She nails it. She said, when the church and the world can jog comfortably along together, that's what's going on, you can be sure something is wrong. She said, the world is not compromised. Its spirit is exactly the same as it ever was. If Christians were equally as faithful to the Lord, separated from the world, and living so that their lives were a reproof to all ungodliness, by the way, faithful to the Lord, 1 John 2:6, separated from the world, James 4:4, 2 Corinthians 6, starting verse 14 to the end of the chapter, and that their lives were a reproof, right? 2 Timothy 3:16, to all ungodliness. The world would hate them as much as it ever did. She said, it is the church that has compromised, not the world. Exactly right. And you all know what William Booth said. He said the chief dangers that confront the coming century will be Christianity without the Holy Ghost. Oh, folks, all day long. All day long. Christianity without Christ. They're enemies of the cross, friends, right? Forgiveness without repentance. Salvation without regeneration. And politics without God. And heaven without hell. This last week, a friend of mine had said, you know, in passing, and I caught what he said. He said, you know, I one of the things that I've learned about the Lord is that he is a loving God. Yep, he is. Yep. And he said that he's a forgiving God. Yep, he is. Absolutely, he is. And then he said, you know, and I don't believe that we're supposed to be guilted into, you know, basically serving God. And, well, you have to look at it, because if you look at in Romans 5, it says that the whole world is guilty before God and their mouth is shut before God, right? So it's not the Lord that's guilty, it's man that's guilty. And that also comes with the conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so I thought about this, and I speak as a man in part here, friends, that, wait a second, God's not guilty. The Lord is not the one that needs to repent. The people need to repent. And if they truly repent, we see the fruit of the Spirit within them. And isn't it interesting in 2 Corinthians 7:10 and 11, and isn't it interesting that the fruits of the Spirit go the other direction, not the direction of the world where they continuously do the same things? So when you hear people say, why are you guilting me? Wait a second. Guilting you. Wait a second. So the Father demonstrates his love to you by taking his Son, putting him up on the cross. He bears our guilt. He bears our iniquity. He bears our sin. The Father sends the Son to be the propitiation of the sin of the world, to bleed Calvary red, to wash us from our sins, right? That we no longer remain in. We've left those sins. All things old have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new in the Holy Ghost, John 3:3. That man is not guilty of anything because all of his sin has been washed away. And so when I hear people say, guilt you, wait a second, the Lord provided for everything. He provided the lamb. He provided the sacrifice. How is the Lord guilting you into anything? What it is, people that say that, I'm not going to be guilted into serving the Lord, it's that they're still holding on to their sin. And they want to pacify and sear their own conscience as if to suggest that they're still going to go in. I want to tell you this. Jesus said, straight and narrow and difficult is the way. He said, wide and broad is the way that leads to hell. And he said, many be there that go that direction. He also said, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is death. Okay, I just want to make clear as to where we're going here. A converted man by the Spirit of God is not guilty of a thing. He is free from his sin because the Lord cast his sin behind his back. But let me ask you, when a man has been forgiven much, he's going to love much, isn't he? And what is the mother of holiness? I'm asking. Gratitude. And if I'm thankful for what he did for me, I'm going to serve him with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if I find myself in that category, there's no guilt whatsoever. None whatsoever. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
The annual Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference is set for April 4 and 5 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Our theme this year is Revival and Reverence, Returning to God, with some great speakers, including the courageous Pastor Art Pulowski from Canada, Dr. Ted Brower, Matt Truella, Scott Shera, Pastor Butch Paw, and more. Learn more and get your tickets today at wisconsinchristiannews.com. This is sure to be the highlight of your year.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble, our churches, our families. We need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing the threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was correct when he said, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless people. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." President Andrew Jackson rightly stated that if the Supreme Court is the final arbiter to decide differences of right and wrong, of what the Constitution says, then we have ceased to be our own rulers, and the Supreme Court is then become our ruler. Things don't turn up in this world until somebody turns them up. President James Garfield goes on and says, "I love agitation and investigation and glory in defending unpopular truth against popular error." Abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison said, "With reasonable men I will reason, with human men I will plead, but to tyrants I will give no quarter, nor waste arguments where they will certainly be lost."
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at ChristianMediaConference.com.
BBSRadio.com. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. Just wanted to let you know that your orders, when they come in, they go out the very next day, unless that happens to be on Saturday. But do go over to sonsoflibertymedia.com and order up, folks, per your request. Also wanted to let you know, too, friends, consider becoming a son or a daughter of liberty to keep us out there, because if we're not out there, then we're not practicing what we preach, right? And we don't have sponsors, as you can well hear. Let's get back to this, because I really want to hit this, because this is something that's been bothering me all week long. And I've told if you're new here, I've told my friends, my spiritual family over here on sonsoflibertyradio.com for years, that we never wanted to be a part of the problem. We wanted to be a part of the answer. And that is the job of the church, is to be a part of the answer, not a part of the problem. Now, listen, one of the things that I continuously do on this show is I highlight what's going wrong. But I also give you the lawful answer. And I also show you God's statutes as to how you're supposed to deal with them. And that's the problem. That's what's missing. You've taken on man's commandments. Folks, look what's going on in your country. There's no more fear of God. There's no more teaching men to depart from lawlessness. No, you have a said representative government that's advocating the sin to create bureaucracy so they can make money off of what you fail to enforce. Hey, folks, just think about this. If government was doing their job, oh, yeah, thank you, Lord. Let me stop right there. So in Minneapolis, and I said this 15 years ago, I said they're busy trying to Europeanize America, right? How do they do that? They have to demoralize you. Well, when I go into the airport last week in Minnesota here, Interestingly enough, they have armed guards with high-powered weapons walking up and down the hallways in the airport in Minneapolis. Never seen that before in my life. Got to Florida, same thing. They got the dogs, they got the TSA, all unconstitutional, friends. And I said to myself, isn't that interesting? I said, they have the armed guards in here protecting us. They want us to believe they're protecting us from the terrorists that they have created. Because if the government was doing their job, people would be afraid to commit a crime in this country. But they're not afraid of it. Just watch. Hey, folks, go into a gas station, go into a restaurant, go into an airport, look up on the television. Who creates and promotes and promulgates crime more than the mainstream media? And along with Hollywood and the movies that are spilled out onto your young people do nothing but promote crime. Instead of thou shall not, the Ten Commandments of God, Exodus 20, it's now become go ahead, do whatever you want to do. Go ahead, do it. Go ahead, do it. They're daring you to go ahead and commit the crime. Do you understand that you're being enslaved through your ignorance of the Word of God and your disobedience to the things of God? And do you also understand, going back to the topic, friends, do you understand that the said hirelings in the pulpit across the country are aiding and abetting as accomplices to the crimes that are being committed against them? How do I know that? Because they're not standing against them. They're not the church. Friends, and you all, Bradley, I hear you say that all the time. Yeah, but do you hear my actions speak a lot louder than my words? See, we just got back from Florida, right? What are we supposed to be doing? Some events, right? And then we got some events next month. And then we got some events the month after that. And then we got some more events after that. We're supposed to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, right? I'm not going to sit there and complain about what I see unless I'm willing to be a part of the answer. And it's exactly what we're doing. But the problem that we're having in this country, friends, is those behind the pulpits that you actually believe are appointed by God. Therein lies the problem. Let me go back to the guy that said last week, he said, you know, I'm not going to be guilted. Okay, wait a second. If you're repentant, you're not guilty. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from all of what? The law of sin and death. Well, what about the condemnation? Well, Bradley, let me tell you. Go to John 3:17, 18, 19, 20, 21. What does it say? There's no condemnation to those, again, that love the light. But see, the problem is the condemnation and the guilt comes in because you hold to your sin and you want to be forgiven of your sin that you continuously hold on to. Well, I'm telling you right now, John 10:10 tells us if you come in any other way than through the door, who is Jesus Christ, you come in as a thief or as a robber. As a thief or as a robber. I'm supposed to obey some of the commandments of the Lord, but not all of them? I mean, did you get away with that when you lived in your house with your dad and your mom if you had one? Was it okay to obey your dad in certain areas, but not in others? That's not love for your father. That's hatred for your father because of your unwillingness to live by the rules of his household. And that is God's government. And that is love. Okay? And I want to make another point on this love topic here. Luke 11:42, what does it say? Listen carefully. This is the New Testament. I'm going to give you the Amplified version. Woe to you, religious hypocrites. Judgment is coming, the Lord is saying. To you, Pharisees, because you self-righteously, you go ahead and you give your money, you give your lip service, but you hold on to your sin, right? He said, what you don't do is you disregard and neglect justice and the love of God. Oh my goodness, in the same chapter, yes. How ridiculous to overlook judgment because of kindness, then love wounds itself by killing justice. If you think these things through, it makes perfect sense, and a little child will understand them, okay? But woe unto you. The Lord is judging. Judgment is coming upon you, you religious hypocrites, because you disregard and neglect justice and the love of God. But these things, and these are the things that you should have done without neglecting the others. Okay? You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I've said it before as well. God is love. Yeah. God is love when Jesus is who the Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father, right? God is love, right? And remember, and I can go through that whole line of scriptures as well, but I'm not going to for the sake of time. But it was love when he was overthrowing the tables, right? Isn't that love? That was Jesus, right? That's not like a different gospel, right? No, no, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you've seen his indignation towards those that were making his father's house a den of thieves, right? Are you feeling that way, Americans? Profess Christians? Because if not, then where's the Spirit of God? I'm just curious. Where is the Spirit of God? Now, I want to get to this as well. When Jesus was raising up the widow's son, when he was on a briar, his dead body was there. Jesus had compassion on him, went over and blew him right out of the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. If I was in a black church right now, they'd be saying, bring it down, Brother Dean. Bring it down. Amen. Acts 10:38, right? Because he's the resurrection and the life. Also, go over to John 11. So there's a balance to this love, friends. It's law to the proud, grace to the humble. Jesus says to the proud, take heed that you stand lest you fall. He says to you in the book of Isaiah, your righteousness is but filthy rags. You better throw them off and you better put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the mercy of God. That is not the guilt of God. That is a mercy of a loving God that will not tolerate you pandering and playing with the blood of his son and desecrating the memory of his son in any sense of the word. I mean, this is pretty crazy stuff. But this is how ignorant people are of the scripture. One more point I want to make before we hit my final point during the last segment. When you look at Mark 8:27, and I'm taking it to a different scriptural reference, but when you go over to Mark 8:27, what does it say when the Pharisees, you know what, I'm just going to take it to the Amplified again. Jesus said, he said unto his disciples as they went out around Philippi, this is really bizarre. I'm having a translation here that is just messing with me in a big way. Mark 8:27, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? I just want you to see the character of Jesus Christ. And they answered, John the Baptist. He's the one that pointed his finger at Herod and confronted him for all of his evils. You don't see that from the false prophets of the day, do you? Hey, by the way, read Ezekiel 13. You want to see an indignant God towards those that compromise his mercy and his love? Okay. Read Ezekiel 13, Jeremiah 23, Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 17, and 18. Okay, just want to make clear. John the Baptist, the greatest prophet born of women. When Jesus asked, who do men say that I am to his apostles? He said, Elijah. This is the one that went up on top of the mountain on 1 Kings 18, right? All by himself, the lone prophet of God, right? And how many of the false prophets were killed because the fire fell and bearing witness on the behalf of Elijah, that holy lone prophet of God? Wow. They're equating Jesus as John the Baptist and Elijah and still others, one of the prophets. No, he is the prophet. He is the greatest of all prophets, and his name is Jesus Christ. Folks, we better get back to the law and the prophets, because if we don't, I can just tell you from a week of observation that you're going to lose everything that you have. In church, if you don't understand that you are called to be the law, the light that reproves the darkness in meaning what you say, and I'm not talking about inciting domestic insurrection, I'm talking about you stopping domestic insurrection by those that are trying to create domestic insurrection. Here, let me say it this way. You'll probably understand it this way. Those that are creating chaos to bring in a new order, those that are bringing in chaos to create a new world order, those are the ones that are gaining from those crises. See, when you're the law, they're going to be afraid to commit the crime. But where are the American people today? They're submitting to the tyrants. And who's teaching them to submit to the tyrants? None other than those cowards behind the pulpits across the United States of America in a massively great degree. The lack of integrity, the lack of courage to preach the word of God is second to none. Isn't it interesting when you go to Revelation 21 verse 8? You know, it's the first thing that the Lord said. But as for the cowards and the unbelieving, who are cowards? Let me tell you who cowards are. Those are the ones that say they believe, but they don't really believe, because if they did believe, they would understand that believe is a verb, and a verb is an action word, and they would actually stand and move on what they say they believe in. But guess what? They don't. What did the Lord say to them? They're the first ones to be cast in the fire called hell. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. Every time we turn our heads the other way, when we see the flawed flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we're too busy or too frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom and decency and justice. Robert Kennedy. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Martin Luther, the great reformer, stated, "When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on."
Hello, this is Caleb Collier, host of Church and State. Find us at churchandstate.media. Take it from me, you have to listen to Bradley Dean. Bradley Dean is one of the greatest theologians and patriots of our time. He is leading the charge in our modern day revolution. Bradley doesn't pull punches and always presents what is right, not beholden to party, politics, or pulpits. I am proud to call him friend. He is truly a son of liberty.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
Don't have a place to go for church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with Scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all true Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you're looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inerrant Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble.
BBSRadio.com.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. 281-845-4704. Hey, guys, I just want to tell you, to those that are in Christ, this is a prophetic book that is in the front of what's taking place in action. That's all we've been since day one by the Spirit of God, and I'm very grateful for it because I don't want to stand before the Lord saying, well, I believed you, but I didn't act upon your word, and the Lord's going to say, well, then you're not a believer. You're just like the rest of those that you complain about. Never going to be a part of this ministry, folks. I'm not going to be guilty of that by the grace of God. This book right here is called Children of the Apostate. You're going to see national ads go out again this week. They were out last month. They're going to be out again, this up and coming month as well. And we're putting it right in the belly of the beast because I am tired of the false prophets. I'm tired of them telling you the opposite of what Scripture tells us. And I'm thinking of Jeremiah, and I'm going over to 23:22. And what does it say? But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to the people and would have turned them from their evil ways. Is that what they're doing? No. No, they're appeasing the people. They're petting the people in the direction of their feathers. They're not going against the grain. These are people that have never repented before. You know what they're breeding, folks? All of this spirit of Antichrist. Not only in politics, but in Hollywood. Look at this, friends. This is a woman right here The Hollywood Bowl just hired a bald black woman who identifies as queer to portray our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Her name is Cynthia Erivo, and she will star in a revival of Jesus Christ Superstar. And then he puts, dude, they hate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, they hate him because they don't see him. They hate him because of your hypocrisies. You say that you believe, but you don't really believe. That's the problem. That is the problem I had before I got into the church. I heard about it, but I never seen their love and demonstration. And that's what we're warring against. To suggest that love lowers the law and dims the light by which man perceives its own guilt by overlooking what needs to be said, that is not love, my friends. Read 1 John. The whole chapter is fantastic. I'm sorry. All five chapters of 1 John. It's fantastic. That is hate. That is not love. But I want to say this. This is happening right here because of the professors in the church and how they're mocking God. They get mad, say they, about her mocking God. And the most that you'll see these people do is what they're doing right here. Man, they hate our Lord Jesus Christ. No, you know what you need to preach? You need to tell them that consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Psalm 50. We need to preach this, and I'm going to go over there really quick because I want you to hear it for yourselves, because this is scripture and it applies to, I'm sure, many of the people that are listening to me right now. And I want you to listen, because a lot of people that are on the verge of, or they believe in their hearts and they're trying to figure out why they see so much hypocrisy, they're going to understand exactly what I'm talking about right now. But I'm here to tell you too, that it also applies to you to do the same concerning those that you're complaining about. It goes a lot further than just complaining about the problem. What does the Lord say? And I'm talking about people like this and other hypocrites that are mocking God. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? Oh, no, folks. Don't get me wrong. These people are foaming out their shame. They have the knowledge of what they're doing. They know that they're at war with God. See, what they're let down by is all the professors that claim to be, again, what they clearly are not. And you can say, Bradley, I keep hearing this. Well, you know what? If you're reading your Bible, you're going to hear it constantly throughout the prophets, aren't you? The major and the minors. And you're going to be greatly affected by their hypocrisies, aren't you? And you're going to stand up and you're going to put a trumpet in your mouth and you're going to blow out and tell the people that this is hypocrisy, but also tell these people that are mocking God openly that God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. When they blatantly go this far, friends, remember what the words were of the Lord in the book of Jude 1:7. Sodom and Gomorrah, what did they do? They mocked the things of God to the point where what? That they were set forth as an example to them that should afterwards live ungodly. These people are daring the justice of God with the accomplices behind the pulpits that do nothing more than play right along with it by not confronting it. That's just how it is. The Lord said this, turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. Notice he said, turn at my reproof. People today have been taught, well, that's hate. No, it's not. It is love. And it's the inspiration of God. And he reproves and corrects and instructs because he loves, not because he hates. Also read Hebrews 12. Read the whole chapter. But because you said at not all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, none of my reproof again. I will also laugh at you when your calamity comes. I will even mock you when your fear comes. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall you cry unto me after the fact. But the Lord said, I will not answer. You had your time. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about just these lunatics that are daring the justice of God. Those that are spitting against heaven that are going to find out that those that do such an act are going to merely fall back on their own backs. Okay, I'm not talking about just them. I'm talking about those that fail to stand up and preach the word of God uncompromisingly. Okay? Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. It's interesting. People like this are now getting the airwaves. Why? Because there's not enough kickback coming from the professors in the pulpits in America today. Well, guess what, friends? That's the same reason you have abortion, the murder of children, because of the pulpits. They don't preach out against it. They don't stand against it for the most part. This is why you have these sodomites, women dressed up as men, mocking the Lord Jesus Christ who died for their sins. Why? Because the church has failed to stand up and preach out against the sins of sodomy. No. And what the church has done, the American version, the Christless church, the spirit of Antichrist in the body of what many call themselves is to be Christians in this country today, you need to understand these are advocates of what's happening here. This is the fruit of your lawlessness, you antinomianists. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. They're mocking you. They're laughing at you. You're looked at as a reproach. And the Lord said that he would not allow you to take his name in vain. For he will not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And then he goes on, they would have none of my counsel. They despised all my proof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Fools. Why? Because they despised the word of God. You guys all understand that God is angry at the wicked every day, right? I get so sick and tired of hearing people talk, well, God loves the sinner but hates the sin. God loves the sinner but he hates the sin. You better understand there's something called election, folks, and predestination. Romans 9:15. You can go ahead and talk about that all that you want to. God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau, right? You better make distinction and keep it in context because you're confusing people if you don't, right? But oh, God loves everybody. Yeah, he also loves a lot of people that went to hell because they chose to reject his mercy, right? Who's that on? Is that on him or is that on the people that rejected him? When a man goes on in his sin, where does the sinner go? Where does the man that chose to commit the act of sin, where does he go? Which is the transgression of God's law? Where does he go? Come on, you can say it. Come on. I know you don't like that word, but Jesus talked about it more than he talked about heaven. That word hell that he warned men of. Right? And why did he warn men of hell? Because it's the consequence of unrepented sin and repenting before their God. And I'm talking about the God that you claim that you serve. Read Luke 12:4-5. 12:4-5. Here, let me give a word of exhortation to those that are in the spirit. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, saith the Lord, they shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of all evil. I wanted to make this point concerning Revelation 21, starting in verse 8. The first people that are thrown into hell, the first ones, are the fearful. And I'm telling you what, folks, America is filled with these cowards. Hey, folks, if anybody were to have the intestinal fortitude to actually call in and ask some questions or make some comments or even contend for the faith, Jude 3 and 4, we could have hit them. But I'm not talking about just those in corners that nobody knows about. No, I'm talking about those that you know of that are the problem. Those that you know of that are the problem. Hey, folks, you got a Paula White today because of what you tolerate in your own pulpit. When you begin to fear God and to teach others to depart from iniquity because of the fear of God that they see in your life, I'll tell you what, then and only then will things begin to change in this country. And I know, hey, I want to say this, and I've said it before again as well, friends, there's no more road to kick the can down. America is in trouble because of what they have put up to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Period. Exclamation. Love you in truth here, friends. 1 John 3:18. See you.